They told us to give a disclaimer. The views expressed on this podcast are those of the podcasters, any guests, and do not reflect any of the management, owners, sponsorships, or employees of thereof. Pretty much, if you're soft, don't listen to this podcast.
One thing I pride myself on is just being the same and trying to look out for my folks along the way.
Like, even with all these, you know, big things happening, like, you still mad humble, and you still, like, you have enough clout now where you could easily be like, I'm not fucking with this, I'm not fucking with that.
Oh yeah, motherfuckers, it's on.
Unrestricted podcast listeners, thank you so much for clicking play. Because of you, those numbers are going up, up, and up. Man, YouTube is looking nice. We're on our way to 1 million views, looking very nice. And if you're on the audio platform, Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, make sure you drop a review. Let me know what you like. And if there's stuff that you hate, leave a comment. Tell me how much you hate it as well. Today, I got a very special guest across from me. 34 ranked heavyweight in the US of A. The number one ranked heavyweight in Utah. The former FFC heavyweight champion of Utah, Kent Mafaleo. Oh, man. Saying former. We're coming off of a tough weekend.
Yeah.
A tough weekend, man. Since I've known you, since we've become friends, this is the first time I've seen you on the opposite end of this fight life. Tell me about how you're feeling right now. You came in here kind of limping, so how are you feeling?
Physically, I'm a little sore, like my legs from the kicks, but it's more of a mental, like I'm just kind of down, you know. I'm happy, you know, I'm blessed. I'm not trying to complain, but I just didn't perform like I know I can, and how I feel like my real fans that have seen me and followed me and watched me know that I'm better than that. And I just had an off night, and I'm anxious to get back in there, man, and prove to myself that I'm better than that, you know. It's just a mental. My mind and my body weren't in the same rhythm.
My wife, my son, we've been fans of yours since we first seen you fight. And it was the first fight that you had at the Maverick Center. And whenever we seen you, before we became friends, whenever we seen you, we're like, that's the guy. Like, this guy is special. And we've always felt something very special about you. So Saturday, if we feel nervousness, right, as fans and as true supporters of yours, how were you feeling leading up to this fight?
Leading up, I felt great, man. My body and the training, I was doing really well in sparring, and just my gas tank was at an all-time high. I was feeling like I was firing on all cylinders. And then just, man, I could, not to make excuses, but just the day of the fight, it was a drag. I checked in at Maverick Center at 4, and you seen there was a long night. Usually, we're done and out of there by 9:30. I don't think I fought till like 10:30, and just being back there 6.5 hours, watching Talon lose, my boy Tyler Call, watching him lose, watching Zeke lose. That normally I don't get to watch all the fights, and I just see the outcome if they come back to the locker room and win or lose, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not really focused and locked in on their fights like I was this time, and I absorbed a lot of the energy from that, and it took a lot of fatigue, mental fatigue, that I don't know, I just couldn't snap out of it. Seemed to, I was just like brain fog, kind of, so to speak, you know.
I think that manifestation is, you know, a thing. I didn't feel that from you when I was watching the fight. One thing that did throw me off, and if you want to see the fight, the full fight, I'm sure it's on the Fierce Fighting Championship website. Go follow them and follow. Make sure you follow Kent, man. Like, this dude is a tremendous athlete. He puts on a show. I had a lot of fun Saturday, man. As much as anticipation as it is, seeing you when I see your walkout song and I play it, the anticipation is just like, it's, man, it's anxiety. But seeing you fight Saturday, I was in my head, I was like, why ain't he throwing elbows? What happened? You're against the cage. This is where we see you throw these big elbows. This is what happened last fight. What I seen between this fight and last fight was very similar in the fact that you get him to the cage. He gets you away from the cage. You get him back on the cage. We didn't see no elbows. Was this a part of the game plan?
Yeah, the elbows is always, you know, the part of the game plan, especially when we get inside or on the clinch or up against the cage. And that's what I mean by, like, brain fog. Like, my brain was saying, do it, but my body just wasn't responding. On top of Jared being very good at staying really close to me and just that experience, you know. And I also think I gave him a little bit too much respect, like being that he's a UFC veteran, you know. I haven't had this feeling of how I did on Saturday as a pro, like as an amateur. Years ago, I've felt similar, but I haven't had it till now, you know. So it was a uncomfortable feeling to be back in that, not being able to overcome and mid, you know, like during the fight and make the adjustments. I kept putting my head right there in his arm. For some reason, I normally don't do that. I normally put my forehead, I try to put my forehead in, on their chin and make it uncomfortable. But I kept shooting it right there in his armpit. And like the fifth time, I think it was, he got me, you know.
Well, he got you a couple times and you got out.
Yeah.
There was a couple times where it was under, you had a beard, so it's hard to tell where the chin was. But yeah, there was a point where I'm like, I think it's under the chin. And I got scared. But then you got out. How many times did he, when you're on your feet, he got you in, what's this move called?
The guillotine.
Guillotine. He got you in the guillotine. At that point, are you okay? Or are you like, oh shit? Like,
what's going on? I was good all the time standing. And like you said, one of the times he had it in pretty good, but I was able to rip my head out. And I heard his coach telling him, it's in tight, it's in tight. And I felt him like, I was like kind of smiling to myself, like, yeah, go ahead and burn your arms out. And I was able to get out. But then the last one, he pulled me down to the ground and then wrapped his legs around me. And I was thinking, same shit, you know. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get out again. Mm-hmm. And then it just, like, kind of cranked my neck. And I always thought that I would just go out, like, past, you know, let him choke me out. But I don't know. I just panicked and tapped out, you know.
Well, I think that's a part of the game, right? Like, this is the beauty of fighting, is now we get to see Kent come back, right? And as soon as the fight was over, I texted my wife. I said, he wants to go another round. I told my wife exactly. I was like, he wants to go again. This he felt this, run it back.
Yeah.
Like, tonight, let's go.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know this, you look great, man. I felt like you look good. I'm a spectator. I'm not a fighter. But as a spectator, I'm like, no, I can't, like, if he threw those elbows, bro, if you had the chance to throw those elbows, I feel like he would have felt something different. Because he said it in the press conference. He was like, or in the after interview, he was like, yeah, man, I'm not going to stand with that guy. That guy hits hard. He knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have got the elbows off, because I know I could beat him. It was an off night. Like, not everyone, one's a fighter, but you can relate, like, if you played a sport or even went and shot hoops at the park with your boys. Like, some days you're on, some days you're just, you miss everything, you know. And I didn't feel like I was completely off, like you're saying. Sometimes you feel stuck in the mud. I wasn't that far gone where I was just that sluggish, but just my mind and my body weren't in tune. Like, I remember saying elbow, like up elbow. It's like the controller broken. It ain't working.
It just, you glitched out a little bit.
Yeah, and then, like, I was paying more attention to what was going on outside of the cage than inside. You know, I remember looking at Dave, the ref. Like, I never noticed the ref unless he's, like, trying to pull me off. But I was just staring at him. I was up against the cage, and I just, like, looked at him, and we locked eyes for a minute. It was just weird, you know? Like, that's weird. Why am I looking at why am I looking at the ref?
Ref's like, bro, you're in a fight.
Yeah, it was a mental thing, you know?
I felt like this Saturday was a special moment. The things didn't go the way that we wanted, but I feel like this was supposed to happen for some reason. How do you feel? Obviously, physically, you're still recouping, but are you, how long until you get back into the cage and start training?
My coach wants me to take a couple weeks off and then start back at it. But I'm thinking April. I want to get on. I want to fight at the UVU April 20th, and so hopefully Zach can find someone for me.
I was gonna ask, how does that work? Do you automatically? I mean, you were the champ. I mean, you've been Utah's guy. You're still Utah's guy. Do we get an immediate rematch? Is that something that you're just going to get the next opponent that's ready?
Yeah, I'd love to get a rematch with Vindara, but I asked him in the back. I was like, hey, let's run it back. And he didn't seem he didn't give me a – he said he was going to go down to 205.
Mm. Oh, yeah, he did say that.
So I don't know. I'm not – obviously, I want the belt. I want to be a champ, but I just want to get that, you know – I want to get back in there and prove to myself, like, to overcome that mental blockage.
Yeah.
So I don't care if it's for a belt or not, but that's obviously the goal, is to get that belt back and to get to the next stage, you know.
I'm telling you, man, like, you are a phenomenal fighter, man. I see it, and you're a star. And I've told you that countless times, that you're a star. You're our guy. And I, as much as an L, you know, in the fighting world, I know this means a lot. This fight meant a lot to you. Just know that you got support, man. You got people that love you. And hopefully your supporters continue to support you no matter where this thing goes. Because this is a journey, man. The journey of a fighter is dark and it's bright.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so hopefully there's people that shoot you messages and whatnot to hopefully show you that you got support. Do you feel that?
Oh yeah, it was overwhelming. You know, I feel like just as many people messaged me when I win as when I lost. I had a lot of support, and it's always new people too that I don't even really know, but they'll send me something. And it's like you know, it lifts my spirits, and it's nice that I have people reach out and support me and tell me that, you know, you're still the champ in my eyes and you did great and we know you'll be back. And
you're our guy, man. The city's on your back, bro. You're carrying a whole state.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, but, you know, I feel like I'm the one to do it.
You are. You're that guy. Even when you're not fighting and you're just walking around the arena saying what up to people, your presence is felt. You know what I mean? That says a lot, because there's a lot of guys that go in that cage who don't have that same impact. Win, lose, or draw, they don't have the impact that you have on this state, and specifically on that organization of Fierce Fighting Championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it means a lot. And, you know, during this time of just recouping and figuring things out, just know that you got support, man.
Right on, man. I appreciate you.
But I'm not going to lie. As soon as you lost, I was like, oh, that dude that you knocked out in front of that bar was like.
He's like, yeah.
I knew he was going to lose. Man, when I see that video, I was like, oh, ouch.
Yeah, TikTok took it down. I was like, ah, that's probably for the best.
Oh, they give you a warning?
Yeah.
I got a warning for smoking, too.
I'm like, what the heck? I see people die on TikTok all the time.
What your algorithm look like?
Like, you know, like car accidents. Yeah. And like,
it gets just looking at people die.
Yeah. I check all the ones that you have to, like, click, you know, see video.
Yeah. The one that's blurred? Yeah. Your Twitter, Tylo, is crazy. Yeah.
My girl be looking at it, and she's like, man, why do I look at your phone? Like, I didn't need to see that.
How are things going on with your girl? Have you proposed yet? Man.
Yeah, yeah. She's my fiance now. And,
oh, so, snap.
Yeah, she said yes. And, like I was saying, I was working on the baby. She's pregnant now.
What? Yeah. Oh, let's go. Yeah. Oh, so I was joking earlier. I said he's going to become podcast poppy. Now he's really a poppy.
Yeah.
Man, do we, how far along?
She's due in June.
Okay, so you just found out.
No, she's 5 months pregnant.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you know what the sex is.
Yeah, it's a girl.
Okay, girl. First one and a girl. Do we have a name?
No, no names yet, but if anybody out there, I need help.
What's your girl? She's a white girl. What is
she? No, she's half Samoan, half white.
Oh, she's half Samoan? Oh. Yeah. And are you half Tongan?
Yeah, half Tongan, half white.
So baby's going to be white, Samoan, and Tongan.
Yeah.
What's a good? I mean, do we go to Clash Cliche Moana? Is there a family name like that you're thinking about? Anything that you're thinking about?
I'm not. I want to keep the Polynesian, you know, base, but I'm open to anything. I just, my brain's not. I can't think. She's always like, "You think of anything?" I'm like, "Nah."
You know what? As a father, and as a father of a baby girl, it's just always going to be baby. It's going to be sweetie pie, cutie pie,
yeah,
baby girl. It's going to be whatever your pet name is for your daughter. You will never call her by her first name. And if you do, it'll be something, you know, short.
Yeah.
What about Mele? Are we going to do a Mele?
I like that. That's my grandma's name. So
it's a beautiful name. Yeah. And all the, low key, all the Meles that I've ever ran into, loyal and trustworthy. They have my back. Man, if... Yeah, I think Mel is a good name. If you have suggestions, hit him up.
Yep.
How did you feel? How did you find out that your girl... Well, let's backtrack a little bit. How did you propose?
We were in Cedar Breaks in Bryce Canyon. And we just had a dinner, a big family dinner. And it was hella cold. But we went on a little walk. And there's like in... you know, it's like Bryce Canyon, so it's real wilderness. Just went on a little walk, and then I was like, well, it's hella cold, so I'm going to get down. Like, we ain't going to walk too much farther. I'm going to get down right here.
Were you nervous?
Yeah, I was nervous. I was cold. I was shaking. But, yeah, it was special, man. I didn't want to do, like, the recorded or, like, you know. I just wanted it to be intimate, me and her, and... We both cried a little bit, and then we just came back in and told the fam, like, hey, you got something to share with you guys, and it was special, man. It was dope.
That's awesome, man. I was super nervous. You know, the thing is that you've been with your girl for a while, so, I mean, you can kind of feel like she's going to say yes, right? Like, she ain't going to say no.
Yeah.
She got no choice. I was the same thing with my girl. I've been with my girl for, I was with my girl for 8 years before I proposed. So I knew, and we had kids, so I knew, like, you know, she's going to say yes. But for some damn reason, we still get nervous. Still get nervous, get cold, get the sweats. Because it's a weird thing, man. I don't know why and at what point in history we made it marriage such a big thing, but it's a commitment, right? It says that, yo, regardless of what happens, I'm going to have your back. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. And in return, I need you to be loyal. I need you to be faithful. I need you to hold it down. It's a bond. Now you have that. So at what point did you find out you were pregnant? How did she tell you?
Like I said, we were trying. I've been wanting a baby, so I was on top of it. She had the Flow app, and then
you're like, you're ovulating.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And then I knew when she was supposed to have her period, you know. And then I was like, oh, you're late. And she's like, what? Only by a day. And I was like, yeah, but. And then it was like 2 days, and then we got the test at like a week or something, and mm-hmm. It was positive. I was like, yeah, I knew you're pregnant.
Wow. That's dope, man. Congratulations, man. You're about to be a father. You're bringing a little life into this world. Little Mele, maybe.
Yeah.
Little baby's going to be here. Does that change your trajectory on this fight thing? How do you feel about continuing to fight?
Yeah, it's, don't change it. It just intensifies my passion and my why of why I need to get to this. You know, it's my dream and it's my passion. But if I can use it to feed my family, you know, like, why not? So kill two birds with one stone type of thing. But it's just motivation, and I want to be great for her, and I want her to look up to me and just be proud of her dad. And, you know, I want to give her a good life and everything. I didn't, you know, how it is, everything you didn't have, you want to give your kids.
Absolutely. You use your life story to hopefully build a better life. And it's cool, man. I'm going to get you some plates and some paper plates and paper forks, because when you when that baby comes up, you ain't going to want to do no dishes.
Yeah. For real.
June. My birthday's in June. She might be a Cancer. Cancers are great human beings. Salute.
Yeah.
How's your wife feeling? Or your fiance?
She's great. She's like, her family's always like, how you feeling, Lauren? She's like, great. I'm like, dang, man, if it's that easy, just keep them coming.
My first one was really that easy. Well, I shouldn't say that. Part of her pregnancy was really good. And then she had to end up getting the Lovenox shot, which is a blood thinner. So for about 5 months out of her pregnancy, I had to shoot her in her stomach with blood thinning shots for twice a day for all of her pregnancies, all three of her pregnancies. So pregnancies, I mean, she's building a human right now. Yeah. She's baking a person. Think about that. That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then once you start feeling the kicks and stuff, things get real. Oh man, it's a beautiful process. Are you doing any classes or anything like that?
No, I need to.
I mean, you'll be fine. Being a daddy's up. We're just on the job training right now. Like you'll learn it on the job.
Yeah. I feel like I'm ready though. I'm at a good age in life, and you know, I'm not a young kid. Like I feel like it's the perfect time.
Yeah, man. How's your family feeling about it?
They're excited. Yeah, my mom's already been shopping and buying. She's like, I went to Carter's. I'm sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry. Yeah.
Take care of that baby, man.
Yeah,
you're gonna be a good father, man. You could tell. The fact that you knew she was pregnant before wifey did, like, that says a lot. You're a hungry father. I feel bad for your daughter because she's going to have a dad that is protective.
Yeah.
I can already tell. I already see my daughter. She's 3 years old. And I'm already like, baby girl, like, why are you jumping off the couch? Like, chill. Knock your melon. Relax. Would you ever let your daughter jump into the cage?
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah. We all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real. I gonna lie.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Nah.
Mm.
Nah. I mean, I'm not. It's not about. Once she's an adult, you know, I feel like that's on her. That's, she got to make her choices. But I'm trying to. That's why I'm fighting in the cage, so she wouldn't have to fight in the cage, you know.
But she can get a lot of inspiration. As much as
I'm going to train her for sure. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. As much as you are, you're fighting for your dream, right? You're in there. You're learning technique. You're learning this different thing, martial arts. As much as you're in there doing that, you're inspiring a lot of people to do that same thing, right? And your daughter might be one of them. She might go back and see daddy's fights and be like, whoa, my dad's a badass. I want to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't stop right there, but I'll make her mom stop her.
You know, mom's feisty. Moms are always feisty.
Yeah, I'm going to be the nice dad and mean mom.
Yeah, that's how it is in my household.
Yeah.
Mom's the hard ass.
Yeah.
Always. That me, the kids come to me. I'm like, my oldest son, he's 10 years old. He asks his mom, hey, mom, can I play on the phone? No. It's like, see, you should have asked me. I would have said yes. Dads are fun.
Yeah.
Moms are the hard asses.
Yeah.
So, June, baby, your brother just fought his first fight?
No, first in a while, but he's 2-1 now.
Oh, he's 2-1 because he got injured.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to. Well, hold on. Was this amateur or pro?
Amateur.
Amateur. Yeah. Just got a big win.
Yeah, first round finish.
How does that make you feel as a brother, seeing your brother in there?
Proud, man. I'm so proud of him. He's been grinding and working and just having shitty luck, you know, just injury after injury. We were supposed to fight in Idaho when I fought in Idaho. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to fight in Idaho. And then, yeah, he's been having bad luck with the injuries. But, man, he went out there and did his thing and got a finish. And just proud of him.
Does he have a fight coming up? Any word?
I think he's in a fight in May. The goal is to get on the same card. So
that'd be dope.
2-for-1 for the fans.
Yeah.
But I get more nervous for when he fights than my fights. When I was in Idaho, I went to the back to the locker rooms. I started getting so anxious and sweaty. I was like, nah, I got to go.
Are you in his corner?
I was that fight, yeah.
That's cool, man. It's a cool story. Two brothers.
Yeah, and then our older brother, Alan, he might fight this year, too. He's like, I think I got one more in me.
And that's the whole reason why you got into it, right?
Yeah. So ideally, if we could all three get on the same card, that'd be epic. That'd be like a big thing for us, you know, as brothers, all three get on the same card.
That'd be nuts. So what made him? Is he just inspired by you guys?
Yeah, I think he's a little antsy and just all the nerves of watching both his brothers, younger brothers fight. It's like he just wants to get back in there one more time.
Dang, you guys are like the new Big Baller brand. The Mafaleo brand. That's dope, man. I hope hopefully he gets to get that last fight, man. On the same card will be dope. Your older brothers kick it off, then your younger brother, and then you come back.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That'd be ill. Now we need a woman Mafaleo in there. Do we have a cousin, a niece, somebody?
My sister, she's both my sisters get down, but my sister used to want to fight, and then I think she just was like, nah, I'll just stick to training.
That's something that we were talking about earlier, about you being able to see Talon fight, which, by the way, Talon, man, that dude is nice.
He's salute an athlete, to him, bro. He's an athlete.
Very nice, man. Dom, you need to relax in the background, though. Stop it, Nico, go wild. I love my brother. An amazing talent. You said that you watched him. You seen Zeke's fight. That's been a question from spectators like me. Does the main event, the top card, do you guys watch the fights leading up? Do you guys pay attention to what's going on?
Normally, I try not to because, like I said, it zapped my energy, I feel like. But these ones were important. You know, Talon, I had a lot of anxiety on his fight because I knew it was going to be a war, and I knew he was gonna be tough. And then I thought Zeke was going to win, and man, shout out Zeke. He grinds with me. Yeah. He's in there with me, and it just sucks to see all the hard work and then not get the outcome, you know, and it's not. It's like, man, all his losses, I feel like, are wins. Like, he should, you know.
That Chisholm fight?
He's so close.
This fight?
Yeah, man. I'm like.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. Not to take anything from Chisholm. Not to take anything from this Roundstone.
Yeah, no, no.
But, I mean, Zeke's our guy. That's our guy. It's Utah's guy. That's our guy. And I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for all of our Utah guys. And Zeke is just that dude, man. He just, maybe it starts with the theme song. Maybe it starts with the walkout song, man. When he walks out to Salem, I'm just like, man, this dude just, you just feel the good vibes. You feel the good energy. And then he goes out there and he puts on a good performance. And then for whatever reason, just a split second thing happens. And that's part of the fight game. And it happens. And it hurts. It hurts. It's a heartbreaking loss. Does you as a teammate, somebody as a brother, as a supporter of these guys, what do you say to somebody like Zeke in that moment?
I'm just telling him, you know, to keep his head up and that it's like you said, it's heartbreaking. It's so hard because it's not like he's getting outclassed or these guys are better than him. It's just minor little adjustments and just like my fight too, you know. I feel like if I didn't just keep putting my head right there, I'd have been fine. You can't give your neck to a black belt so many different times and not expect to get choked out. But I just told him we got to just keep working, minor adjustments. And both of our losses were a mental loss, you know. Like, it was not like we weren't ready physically. We trained our asses off. Strength and conditioning, you know, multiple gyms, Rise, Classic, Agema, like Team Link. We're traveling and back, you know, sparring with the best guys in the state. Just, you know, really working. And so it's not a lack of work. People sometimes think, oh, maybe he's unconditioned. He's not conditioned, but it's like, no, it's not that. It's just so many factors go into a fight, and it's hard to be perfect for 15 minutes or 25 minutes or whatever it needs. It's such a small percentage of your day, but to take 10 weeks of hard work and practice and everything and just to get it into that small, you know what I mean? Yeah. Small little time. It's a special thing, and all the stars got to be aligned for you to be perfect, you know. And just wasn't our night, and I know we'll both be back. We're both hungry to get that win back, and especially Zeke. He's had all those wins slip right through his fingers. It's not like he's getting dominated by any means, you know.
I think if anybody talks down on Zeke on his performance, they don't know. They don't know, yeah. Because that dude is a grinder. He worked his ass off. And like you said, man, even though he caught those L's, to me, they still look like wins.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's on his record. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, that's how it happens. But I don't think it keeps him away from keep bringing in a crowd and people still cheering for him. Because you see it, man. This dude puts his heart and soul, just like you, just like all you guys. You guys put your heart and soul into that cage. And I think if any of my listeners, if you don't understand mixed martial arts, if you don't understand what these guys do, I highly suggest you go check out a fight. Get in tune with the culture of mixed martial arts. Get in tune with the culture of this, you know. Even if a guy takes you down, because I hear this often. Oh, well, if they were standing up, if they were throwing hands, Kent would have got him. But at the same time, it's like, hey, if he took you down, you got to get down there and you got to work with the tools that you sharpen, right?
Yeah, this is mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. People get mad when they mix it up.
I was surprised. Not surprised. I honestly thought Chisholm would have been your next match.
Yeah, I'd be down to fight Chisholm. I was supposed to fight Chisholm, and then when I had that motorcycle accident.
Mm. So you guys haven't got down yet?
No, and then last time after he beat Zeke, because since Zeke's my brother, you know, I was like, well, shit, me and you run it. And he said something along the lines of, those are some big elbows to be getting hit by. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I respect for keeping it real, you know.
Yeah.
But he told Zach, he's like, yeah, that's a big guy with some big elbows.
Because you got what? You got about 4 or 5 inches on Zeke?
Yeah.
Zeke's about 5'11"?
Yeah, 5'11", yeah. Maybe 6 foot.
Yeah.
6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, so I Chisholm, like, he ain't dumb.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, he has a chin, though. Yeah. Zeke was hitting him hard. Oh, my gosh, the bombs that he was throwing on Chisholm.
Yeah, and I think it was, I was watching the podcast. I think it was 112 strikes to 2, the differential in the first round. So I was like, man, no heavyweight can redline for 5 minutes and not get tired.
Mm.
Like Zeke beat himself on, you know, that fight.
Yeah. He just
emptied the tank. And people would say, like, the ref could have stopped it. And, yeah, no one would have been mad if the ref stopped it.
But I thought he would.
But, I mean, he didn't. And look what Chisholm was able to do. So it's like,
yeah,
it sucks. But it's like you said, it's the fight game.
It's a fight game, man. That's why I think that you have to show appreciation for you guys. You guys are risking your life to bring entertainment, to pursue your dreams, to hopefully live off of this and you know, just support your family. You got a baby coming, right? Like, that's the goal. And I highly suggest next time you get the chance to see the man across from me fight, go buy a ticket. Having Utah support Utah is highly, obviously recommended, but we need it. We need the Utah support. And it baffles me that we're not filling up half of the Maverick Center yet. Because Saturday's fights were fun.
Yeah.
There were some fun fights. And there were 5 titles on the line.
And there was some of those, those were some good matchups.
Oh, yeah.
Even like, it's not like Fierce is trying to pad anyone. Like, look, you know, I took a loss. Zeke took a loss. A lot of hometown guys took a loss. They're putting real good matchups together, and it's not, you know, they're putting the highest level guys in front of us.
That Harrell fight was great.
Yeah, man. Shout out Joe Harrell, boy. He, almost a year to the day. Free fought in Idaho.
Yep. Oh, I just got chills, bro.
Yeah, man, that's epic, man.
And we know what's next. We know that the next level for you could be the UFC. We know that this match probably could have got you to the UFC. I feel like guys like Joel was on that same type of tip. And now it's cool to see, because if you remember Joel from a year ago, this fighter that we seen on Saturday, oh, my gosh, it's night and day. He looked, oh, he put him that first round, oh, my gosh. And the guy that he was fighting was not a chump at all.
Oh, no.
He was nice. So to see where he came from a year ago from where he was, I'm excited to see how much you improved from this last one as well. How has it been fighting in Rise Classic?
It's been great, man.
Going to a Gima. How do you feel like you're sharpening your skills? Are you enjoying this process? Because two fights ago, you were at one gym. Now you're kind of spreading out and you're going to different ones. How's that process been?
Oh, it's been great getting to mix it up with all the heavyweights around, like Eric Iman over at Team League, and just Zeke, and last camp we had Ben Moore coming in, Lauren Sua, the one that just beat Fiji, and just not even heavyweights, like there's just even Joel comes down to Agema on Saturdays and spars. I see him there on Wednesday nights for grappling. So I'm just surrounding myself with the best top guys, and that's what's so hard about the defeat is I didn't represent the level that I'm at. You know, I leveled up from my last fight, and it sucks to not. I feel like I know it's not true, but I feel like I let my team down. You know, like I know they don't feel like that. But in a way, I did, because I didn't. There's just so much growth and progress that we made, and I didn't really get to showcase it in my opinion, you know. Mm. Not just because I didn't get the win, but just how I lost. Like, you know, that's guillotine chokes. Like, that's the hardest choke to finish, one of them, you know. One of the easiest ones to defend. I didn't fight the hands. I didn't, like, you know what I mean? I didn't showcase our team and our skills like that I know I could, and that's why I want to run it back so bad. And even if it's not against Vindara, I just want to get back in the cage to show that, you know, I'm better than this. My, you know, the training and preparation that went into this was a lot and deserves to get recognition in a positive way, you know.
Yeah. I hear you, man. How does a fighter, because you did all the technical stuff, right? You get into the match, and you even said it, man. The mental part is what you failed on going into this fight. How do you correct that going into this next one? Is there correcting mental?
I feel like I learned a lot in the back and the lead up, and there was a just with myself and things I can control. Like I need to be more isolated before the fight instead of having distraction, so to speak, and people coming in and out. I need to zone in, and when it's time to lock in, I need to be more isolated and not be more selfish, just not be a, like, you know, I got friends that are fighting, but maybe not watch them next time. Just, you know, they got to do their job, I got to do mine. But if watching them is going to affect my job, then, you know, I'm going to have to rewatch it, you know, or just send out, my good energy towards them, but not focus in on what they're doing, because it's affected me this time, you know.
One thing that I notice is, obviously, I'm the DJ. I get your guys' walkout songs. And typically, you're more hype. It's more Tupac, something more hype. This time you went Afrobeat. What was the change on the walkout song being more calm? Is there any thought to that?
I wanted to be calm. I was like, but I almost was too calm. You know, I didn't really snap into that like urgency. And like I said, I was paying attention to shit that's what I should have been getting off the cage and, like, you know, but I was just, like, kind of letting him dictate where it went and not a big, I don't know. It's weird, man. It's hard to explain. I just, like, almost, like, didn't care. Mm. Lost the, like, the focus, and that's what I mean by mentally. You got to be laser, like, focused, like, locked in and coming out, and you know what I mean, like shaking hands with everybody. Like, I'm not trying to be rude, I'm trying to make sure I get everybody's hand, but it's like I need to not worry about that and just worry about my job. Mm-hmm. And shake hands after, you know, so to speak.
Well, here's your warning: if Kent doesn't pay you no mind, if he ignores you, he's locked in. It's nothing personal. Next fight, yeah, he's locked in. We need him locked in. You're our guy, so we need you locked in for the next fight. I was going to ask you, though, how did you feel about, you mentioned Ben Moa, our brother Ben Moa. How did you feel about him getting the bare knuckle win?
Oh, man, I was so proud of him. He didn't even get touched. He busted up his hands a little bit, but the dude he fought was tough, man. He took a lot of punches.
Yeah.
He took a lot of damage. Like, that dude probably never fight again.
Shout out to Trevor Bradshaw as well. Our Utah guys got the win.
Yeah, I was proud of him, man.
I think there was one guy that didn't.
My boy Mike.
Mike Jones. Yeah. Mike Jones fought. He
Jerome,
won the belt.
Yeah, he beat Jerome Hatch for the middleweight. Jerome's still the light heavyweight champ. Oh. But he moved down to fight Mike, and Mike beat him.
Gotcha. Oh, that wasn't for the belt?
Yeah.
Oh,
for the middleweight belt.
Oh, so Mike Jones holds the middleweight belt.
Yeah.
When's he going to defend it? It's got to be soon, right?
It's got to be soon, yeah.
He looked nice against Rome.
Yeah, he looked real nice.
Yeah, that's dope, man. Would you ever do bare knuckle?
Yeah, I would for sure. I'm focused on MMA right now, so I don't know. I don't think I would do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Once I'm done with MMA, it would be something I'd be do like a couple fights or something. Especially if I can get to the level where I want in MMA, then it'd be really lucrative to do a couple bare knuckle. Mm. If you're already an established, you know, well-known fighter on a national level, then the payday would be a lot bigger.
Are you still representing yourself? Do you have management? Have you taken the...
Yeah, no manager yet. Just... not there. I'm not making the money yet to where I feel justified to be sharing it with, you know, with the manager. If a manager has an opportunity for me to make more money, then that's where I'm going to sign with. But it just don't make sense to me to sign a manager and share part of my money that I'm making on this scale, you know.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Any opportunities outside of the promotion that you're currently fighting with?
They said PFL was looking at me, and they were keeping their eye on this fight. So I don't know how they feel, but I'm on their radar, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, it's kind of nice now that I don't have the belt. It's like I'm not the number one target anymore. Jared is. And
I don't know how much I agree with that, though, because you're still that guy.
Yeah.
The Mafaleo name still has a people want that on their record. If they can get a win over you, they want that. So as much as he holds the belt, I don't know the guy's name. I know your name. You know what I mean? And I know other people feel the same way. So not to put more pressure on you, but your name holds as much as that title, I feel like, could. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm a spectator, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm excited to fight, man. I'm just, like you said, I'm ready. We can run it tomorrow. And Roundstone, I want to fight Roundstone. He beat Zeke. He was, you know.
Yeah.
He was saying he wanted to fight me, but that was for the belt. I don't think he's interested in fighting unless it's for a belt. But if he's listening, I'd love to knock you out, Roundstone. So. We can make that happen in April if you want.
He's an ex-junkie, though. Got stabbed 7 times, shot twice.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that? Oh, man. He had a beautiful interview at the end. He was like, you know, I was, he almost lost his life to meth. He was left for dead, got stabbed. I don't know his part in it. I'm not going to say you deserved it, Brownstone, but... Yeah. I don't know the story. Yeah. But he had a beautiful interview at the end where he was talking about defeating addiction. And really, I mean, coming out of there alive against Zeke is a lot, you know, surviving. Not no, I wouldn't want to fight Zeke.
Yeah, no.
Just looking at that man, just shaking that man's hand. That's my guy. I'll give him a hug. I'll embrace him. He's coming on the podcast hopefully soon. He ignored my DMs. He said, Zeke, I see you. He said, how did I miss this message? But I would not want to fight Zeke. If I see Zeke in a dark alley somewhere, if I see him at church, I'm walking the other way. It's a dangerous man. So, I mean, not to say, I don't know Roundstone's record. I think
he's 5-3 now.
Grudge match would be cool, but
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
I just want to beat him up for Zeke, you know? He could add that to his story, you know? I've been stabbed, shot 9 times, and knocked out by Kent.
It put to bed by Kent. Damn. All
beat
right.
Your ass worse than meth did, boy.
A lot of people were hoping to hear you speak after the fight. Obviously, we didn't get to hear you speak. Was there anything that you wanted to tell the folks?
Yeah, man. I just so much support that I received from our city and our just Utah period, and I just wanted to get on the mic and tell people how much I appreciate them, and just people that reach out and like, hey, champ, let me send you like a couple $100 for training. I know shit's got to be, you know, I know it's expensive, and man, it's just so humbling to have I feel like I'm the people's champ, you know, like.
You're our guy.
They just embrace me and support me and care about me, and I wanted to win so bad for you guys and for the fans and the kids that look up to me, and to give my team the recognition and my training partners, and it didn't happen. So it's like, it's a gut shot, but it's like I said, a minor setback for the major comeback. And
yeah, I feel bad for the next guy.
I mean, this is my 6th pro fight, and here's the first time I felt like I wasn't in tune, you know? So it's like, I'm not hanging my head about it. But I know I could beat Vandara, and I didn't get to show that on Saturday. But whoever the next guy is, like, I'm gonna run through him and the next guy, and we get back on. You know, I'm feel confident. This loss didn't hurt me that much. You know, if anything, it's gonna help. It might have slowed me down for a month or two, but April I'll be back in the win. Yeah. Win column.
Yeah, I don't blame homeboy for saying he don't want to run it back.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. If you can get past it, hey, keep on moving. But, yeah, if I'm him, I'm not giving you another shot because I don't want those problems.
Yeah, I feel like he knows, too, that I don't feel like there's any luck involved, but he won the only way he could, you know. I could have beat him 10 different ways, and he got that black belt experience on me, you know, and he did what he had to win, and hats off to him. He's very experienced and very calm, and I learned a lot fighting him, you know, and just learned a lot about myself, and just gonna keep it pushing. Short-term memory loss. And
What a wife you feel.
She's proud of me, you know, but she knows I could do better. She's trying to keep my spirits up, because it's been Eeyoring around the house, and you know, like, it's not poor me, but it's just like, damn, man, it's not just didn't represent how I know I can and how I should.
I'm excited to see the next fight, man, because I know, man, you're gonna come back, it's gonna be beautiful, and you're gonna see the TM all over the fucking arena. Yeah. we're gonna be there supporting, and I'm excited to see it, man.
Me too, brother.
Really excited.
Are you sick of podcasts that just interview people with the same questions and gossiping nonsense?
Are you tired of hearing about what's wrong with the world? Can you locate your nearest orphanage?
Who cooked the Last Supper?
R.I.P. Mr. Potato Head.
Seppuku Harakiri.
Where is Mavis Beacon?
This is Hoss.
And this is Hoss Beefy.
Listen to the Beans and Rice podcast.
Exclusively in Braille and all streaming platforms.
Patent pending.
Having a good barber is essential, but having that good barbershop experience is even more essential. Get the barbershop experience you deserve with Boogie Down Barbershop, now located at 7378 South Plaza Center Drive in West Jordan, suite number 106. Gentlemen's cuts, tapers, fades, and even a hot towel shave is on the menu. So book your appointment today at boogiedownbarbershop.com and even follow us on social media at The Boogie Down Barber.
Hey, yo, you're probably listening to the Unrestricted Podcast with Dre Rocca.
We are?
No, they are.
Yeah, oh, right.
Oh, wow.
And I'm the real Ruby. You can catch me and Fonzie and
Daddy Funk
on Late Talk 81 Podcast.
Yeah, but I think you have to come in more smoother, more funnier. Like, yeah, they could catch us on the Late Talk 801 Podcast.
Yeah, y'all can catch us on Late Talk 801.
Yeah, and we'll be like, and yeah, man, hey. And they could catch people like me, the real Ruby, and people like you, Fonzie, and people like him, G Daddy Funk,
wow, on the Late Talk
801. Who cares?
What'd he say?
Huh?
I didn't hear him.
I don't know, but this probably should be the ad.
Is this... Are these on?
Catch a new episode every Monday on all streaming platforms. The Late Talk 801. Tune in now.
So as you know, I asked the internet. I said, hey, throw me some questions, and they do it. And we answer them. It could be specifically for me. It could be specifically for you. Now, questions is powered by the good folks over at Fusa Motors in Midville. In business for over 17 years, Fusa Motors got you covered. Whether if you need a sedan, a van, a truck, luxury, or just a motor to get you from A to B, Fusa Motors got you covered. 8160 South State Street in Midville, FusaMotors.com. That's F-I-U-Z-A Motors.com. First question comes from Samantha in West Valley City. Thoughts on the Super Bowl game, halftime show, and commercials. Did you watch the game?
Yes, I did.
You were going for the Niners, right?
Yes. Yeah, my brother's a big Niners fan. I wanted him to get it, but
what a game.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that game, man. Defense played the whole game. It felt like Mahomes in that fourth quarter was like, nah, like, I need to get this shit done myself. Running for 20 yards. What are you doing? Untouched. They're a dynasty for a reason, right? And if you look at the story behind the Niners and Purdy, like, pretty incredible, man. Last pick of the draft. You know what? Third string quarterback for the Niners. I think he makes like a $500,000 a year, which to me is a lot, but to the NFL, that's pennies. To go to the Super Bowl, I think the Niners should not hold their head at all. And it just proves to that franchise, like, yo, make some minor adjustments and go get it. That defense is something else, though.
Yeah, man. How'd you like the halftime?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm biased, so I'm a huge Usher. I love Usher.
Yeah, I love Usher since, 7 o'clock.
My Way.
Yeah. I think I was in like third grade or something.
Yep. The My Way album was great. I do have to say what saved that halftime show was the moment Lil Jon came. As soon as Lil Jon came out, I was like, oh, it's lit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how
I like Ludacris. I felt like that with Ludacris too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how Swiss Beatz feels about Usher caressing Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe they know something we don't.
Yeah.
Maybe Usher's no threat, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe Usher might be playing for the other team. I don't know.
Damn, he looks good though. For like, I'm like, man, this dude looks the same as
mm-hmm. Young.
He looks good, man.
Took off his shirt. I was like, woof, look at him. Yeah. He's going after it. Like,
damn, man.
But he has millions, so.
Yeah, but if I switch, I'm like, hey, man, back it up, brother.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do if your wife's a performer? My boo was before Swiss Beatz.
Yeah.
Right? Alicia Keys and Usher had a relationship before, but that's his wife. They have kids. Don't be caressing my wife like that, brother.
Yeah, you can sing, but sing over there.
Yeah, don't be touching it. What are you doing? Making a silhouette of her. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was dope, man. I think a lot of people were kind of like, yo, what's going on? Is he going to be able to do more than what Rihanna did last year? Which I thought, Rihanna being pregnant, I thought she killed it. I thought she did a great, I really enjoyed it. I think he did a great job on the halftime show. Any commercials that stuck out to you?
Not off the bat. I mean, that's why I watch it, is for the commercials and halftime show, but
the Verizon Beyonce one was dope. Where she was like, I'll beat any record, or I could beat anything. And she kept on trying to beat the 5G network or whatever, and she couldn't beat it. Like, she was like, I'm on the moon dancing. I was like, damn.
I think I missed that one.
Would potty break that. There was the Uber Eats one with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Where they had to forget something. That was pretty creative. The Jason Momoa one was good.
Yeah.
Where they did the flash dance. Yeah, so I think overall Super Bowl 2024 was great. What'd you guys do? Low key?
Just at the house.
What'd you eat? What was on the plate?
Oh, we just had a big breakfast. We didn't have like food like normal. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
We hit a Wingnuts. Shout out to Wingnuts in Taylorsville, man. They got swamped. Oh my God. I ordered ahead. And when I got there, my food still wasn't done. And there was probably about 30 people in the lobby. Yeah, it was lit. But the people were still in good spirits. The dude handling the food was in good spirits. Because you think, man, I don't know if you ever worked fast food, but I worked at Pizza Hut. And, man, Super Bowl, that's like, man, just overwhelming.
Yeah, so, I can imagine.
Salute to those folks, man. We ate good. Samantha, I appreciate your question. Okay, next question comes from Togi in Sandy, Utah. If you could go forward or backwards in time, where would you go?
That's simple. I'd go back, back to spend another day with my dad.
Hmm. Pops was a big person to you, huh?
Yeah, my hero.
Yeah. What do you think about, I don't know your faith, but to me, I feel like Pops knows where you are in life. Pops feels that he's going to be a grandfather. You know, how do you feel Pops would take to having your little baby girl?
Oh, my dad was telling me for years, like, man, I want to see your kids before I die, you know, and unfortunately I didn't have any before he did, but I feel like he sent us our daughter, you know, like, I feel like he's,
yeah, he's there. I think so, man. I would love to live in the era and really feel the revolution of Bob Marley. I would have loved to see him perform live with the Wailers. Maybe during that time, even with the Stones, seeing the Stones perform live. Like, I'm thinking, go back to a time when music, that live music was revolutionary. You know what I mean? The new Bob Marley movie just came out, One Love. I haven't seen it yet, but I would love. Even Tupac, like going, you know, the was it? The House of Blues, and seeing that last performance, you know, famous performance when he performed Hit 'Em Up. Like, I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, that'd be epic, seeing that live.
Yeah. All right, good question, Togi. I appreciate it. Nate in Las Vegas. I know you didn't go nowhere Sunday because traffic was probably crazy. All right, this is a F, Mary, Kill. Are you familiar with how that works?
I think so,
yeah. All right, so F, Mary, Kill. You have to F somebody, marry somebody, or kill somebody. And if your girl gets mad, he gets a pass today. This is hypothetical. Selma Hayek, Rihanna, Megan Fox.
F, Mary, Kill.
You're familiar with all three,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to kill Megan. F, Rihanna, and Mary Selma.
That's a good, that's exactly what I would have did. I feel like Selma Hayek will hold it down. You know, she keep a nice little house. You know what I mean? She can cook, probably.
Yeah.
Watch us just get it wrong. She just be the devil. Good question. I appreciate that. All right. Will Wonder with the Will Wonder Podcast. Salute to my brother. When it's all said and done, what's one thing you want to be remembered by?
Being a good person and having a good heart and just treating people how I want to be treated, you know. Just want to be remembered for the man I was and not for the for anything, you know, not for the accolades or the any of that, just on how I treated people and the impact I left on people's lives. That's what I want to be remembered for.
I love it. I think that's a good answer, man. I have one last question that snuck by, came in last minute from the Puerto Rican, my man host from the Beans and Rice podcast. Describe in detail what you would want to do, or hold on. Describe in detail what you would do if you had a full week off. That means no training, no nothing, just a full week off. What would you do? What does that look like?
Probably travel somewhere. If money wasn't an issue, I'd go to New Zealand or somewhere dope like that and just be by the water, the ocean. Just probably snorkel and sip pina coladas and, you know, just chill in the sand, watch the sun come up, watch the sun go down. Yeah. Simple.
I like that. I recently, a podcast that I follow, they had somebody come on there and talked about his trip to New Zealand. And he was telling me that a river is turquoise in New Zealand. So I had to look it up. Motherfucker is really turquoise. It's beautiful. Bunch of green. He also said that it's very hard to get citizenship in New Zealand. Like, you have to be born in New Zealand and have, like, New Zealand blood in you.
Yeah.
To be a resident. So I was like, man, I would love to live there. But I can't.
It's a good place to visit, though. I've been there.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. It's beautiful, man. It's reminded me kind of California vibe, like a Northern California, but much, much cleaner.
Where haven't you traveled that you want to?
Europe. I want to check out Europe. And it's always been a dream to go to, like, Japan, Thailand. Yeah, I want to see the world, so, yeah.
I want to see Ireland.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
I want to see Ireland. I think it looks dope from the pictures.
Yeah.
All right. Last question comes from me. This has been a reoccurring question that was asked to me, and I thought it was just so good that I want to ask my guests. Can you love unconditionally?
Just anybody or just in general? Like, just the capacity to...
You tell me. Is there certain people that you can put a condition on your love for versus others? And the reason why I ask is because in the discussion of this, it's been brought up, like, as a parent, you know, our kids do grow up. They're their own person. They make decisions. Can you love your child through bad decisions? You know, that impact others. Can you love unconditionally?
I feel like yes. I feel like my mom and my grandma love me unconditionally. All the poor choices and, you know, things I've done, they, you know, could still see the good in me. And, you know, even if I was like a murderer or something, I know my mom would still love me.
That's a great testament. That's a great example. You're living it. You've lived it, man. Like, no matter what I did, they stuck by me. That's unconditional love right there. Dahmer's dad stuck next to him too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To the very end. That's crazy. Because I think about it too. I'm like, damn, if my son was eating people, I don't know, dog.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to turn.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, Mr. Kent Mafaleo, man. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell the people? Anything that we missed that you want to talk about?
No, just want to shout out to my gyms and my sponsors, 22 Salute, Glow Pop, Mill Creek Nutrition, All Sports Mouth Guards, Life Cracks. Man, he's keeping me mobile and limber.
That's the chiropractor?
Yeah, man, you got to check him out, bro. He's game changer. and all my training partners. Special shout out Tyler Call from Agema. He fought for a belt on Saturday too, and it didn't go his way, but he's one of my best training partners, and I know he'll be back. I just want to tell him I appreciate him and all his time in helping me get better, and I know it's not the end for either of us, and we'll be back.
Mm. Are you, is Water and Wellness still a sponsor?
Oh yeah, of course. I'm always repping Water Wellness. I always forget too. Like, I have so many people that support me. TMS Trees in Cedar City, I believe. Yeah, I love those guys. But, yeah, and just all my fans, man. Everyone that supports me and purchases tickets or pay per view or even just sending out positivity my way and the belief you believe in me is it's huge, and I just can't tell you how blessed and appreciative I am for you guys, and without that I wouldn't be in the position I am.
Yeah, keep it coming. There's no reason to stop. As long as you're fighting, we need to be in your corner. The highs, the lows, same thing with all of our Utah guys, you know what I mean? Like, if there's a fighter that you really love and you really want to support, keep supporting them no matter what. You know, keep them going, because it goes a long way. Kind words. How do you feel about, and last question before we wrap up, how do you feel about Utah female MMA?
I feel like it's growing, and Allie had her first fight. She didn't get the win, but she was very, very showed good, you know, a lot of great things, and I don't feel like she was hurt at all. She went the distance, showed a lot of good clinch, and it's minor things get back, but I feel like MMA is getting really big in Utah, and female MMA is not as big. It's like I was comparing it to the heavyweight division, like, you know, it's slim like the heavyweight division, so females that are interested in training MMA, I feel like if you're passionate about it and you're dedicated, there's a strong possibility you can get to the highest level if you're committed to it.
Yeah, we need it, man. We need it. Show up, ladies. Show up. Is there any? I'll save that question for the next time. Camp Mafileo, what's the socials? Where can we follow you? Where can we follow this journey?
Camp Mafileo on Facebook and King V801 on Instagram.
Did you hear the V chants?
Oh yeah, every time. I did feel like the crowd was a little tired. Normal, you know. I don't know if you noticed, but it was late, a long night, man.
It was a long night.
And
the amateurs, man, wrap it up. Yeah. Y'all were going a little too long.
Yeah, I'm like, man, usually it's like boom, 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 fight seven, like start wrapping your hands. I'm like, oh, dang, that was quick.
Yeah.
Man. I'm like, wow, man, looking at the clock. But yeah, I was going to tell Zach when he was telling me, he's like, I need your walkout song, man. I was going to be like, just tell Dre to pick it, man. Like, so next one, I'm just going to let you rock.
Oh, don't put that pressure on me, bro.
I don't care what it is. Like,
you know what's funny? I don't know if you noticed it, but I keep your anytime. I'm not going to reveal that just yet. I'll tell you off air because they might be like, oh, he's biased. The DJ's biased. Yeah. I am, motherfucker. man, I appreciate you, Kent, man. This is an open door policy, man. Whenever you want to come through, man, this is yours.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, got your friend. He's going to come on. We're going to talk to him. So stay tuned because I'm hearing a good story's coming from your buddy.
Yeah, for sure, man. Marty's going to come on and I'm sure you guys are going to have a great talk, man. I'm excited to check it out.
Hell yeah. Make sure you follow at Dre Rocka, DreRawka. And if you want to support this podcast, it is not cheap to have a studio. It's not cheap to have equipment. So if you want to help support, buy a t-shirt, buy a hoodie, buy a sweatshirt, allrawka.com, allrawka.com. If you can't and you want to support other ways, just share this content. If you're a fan of Kent and you want to support him, share this podcast, tell the people about him. He's getting his story out. We have two other episodes that dropped previously. Go watch those. Find out where he got his journey, where this whole MMA journey started from, and learn more about him as well. I hope y'all have the day you deserve. Protect your light. We out. Peace.